We're holding on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We left off. We're in the middle of discussing a case where, well, we're in the middle of discussing. Our Mishnah had said that if there's an argument between the person who gave the gift and the people who gave it to, whether he was a Shchiv Merar or a Bari at the time, so Reb Meir had said that he would have to bring a proof that he was a Shchiv Merar to get the Nechosim back, and the Chum said the other way around, the recipients would have to bring the Raya and Motzim Chaveh Raya. So we were discussing what kind of raya we're talking about, and so we were discussing what kind of raya are we talking about, and what is the underlying machlokas between the mayor and the chachamim. We had Rav Huna saying they need to bring a raya be'edim, because according to him the underlying question is which chazaka do we follow, the chazaka dehashta that right now he's healthy and therefore he probably was before, or the chazaka on the nechassim and he had possession of the nechassim before. That was Rav Huna. And then we had Rav Chista and Rav Abba Rav Huna saying that it's not, that it's a matter of when they have the shtar, do they need to be mekayim it modi b'shtar shekosvei? When you have someone admits in the typical case is a loiva, but here we're talking about the giver of a gift admits that the shtar is valid. He's not claiming it's forged or anything like that. Does he need do we need to be mekayim it, or would he be able to claim that he paid it off, or in this case to claim that he was a shchiv mera? So we were talking in this case, we were talking in this connection about, we mentioned a braisa from Bar Kappara on the subject that that says that implies that modu that a star that exactly that you don't need to be mekayim the star, that even if he says I paid it or I was a shchiv merah or whatever, we're not going to believe him. And we were discussing a machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on that topic, and more generally, what exactly the same thing? What is the raya that we're talking about in our Mishnah, and what's the deal with this moda b'shtar shekosvei tzarech l'kaimri? So the last thing we said was that the last thing we said was what Rabbi Yosef says that that Bar Kappara's brisa is only according to the Chachamim. Which fine, we have less of a problem with that. Before, when the Gemara brought the Braisa, the question was, is it only according to the Meir? And we would rather not say that, given the halacha is like the Pashtus, the halacha is like the Chachamim. But now the last thing we said was that Rabbi Yosef said that the Braisa is in fact according to the Chachamim, and the reason why that we use the expression Divrei Hakol, that everybody, when Rabbi Yochanan says Divrei Hakol, everybody would agree to this. He means the Chachamim say that, because in that case we discount what Rabbi Meir says. So the Gemara asks, now, didn't we learn the other way in the Mishnah of Chachamim, where the Chachamim are the ones who say that if the people who receive the shtar want to be able to keep the Nechasim and be able to claim that he was a Bari and it's an irrevocable gift, then they're the ones who have to bring the proof. And we're saying that, that would be because they would, if we learn that it's a matter of this, that's a matter of this question of Moide B'Shtar Shekosvei, when he admits that the Shtar is valid, whether we need to be Mekayim or not, it comes out that the Chachamim are the ones who say Tzorech L'Kayim. So what are you telling me that? So the Chachamim are the ones who are saying that. And whereas Reb Meir is saying that he would have to bring the proof, which fits better with Reb Kappara's Braisa. So the Gemara answers Epoch. You have to flip around the names of the Tanoim. In our Mishnah, it would actually be according to that way of understanding it, according to Reb Zera, who quoted Reb Yosef to that effect. We would have to say that it's the other way around. Reb Meir would say that they have to bring the raya, and the Chachamim would be saying that he's the one who has to bring the raya. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanya ein neman l'poisle divrei Reb Meir v'chachamim nemanim." What about a brisa that we quoted in yesterday's Gemara, where you're talking about where the edim themselves come to Beis Din and say, "Yes, these are our signatures, but we were ketanim or psulim or what have you at the time we signed it." So the brisa says that ein neman l'poisle divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says we don't believe them to passel it because once they say they wrote the shtar, we don't believe them to say that it is to say that it is possible. V'cham say yes, and we said that Reb Meir again would hold that moed b'shtar shekosve ein sarach l'kaimoi, and therefore we don't need any further kiyum to say that these are their signatures. And therefore they don't have the ability to claim anything that would pass all the shtar, and the Chacham said we do believe them. So so again, that wouldn't fit with how we're saying now that that Bar Kapara's Braisa is according to the Bar Kapara's Braisa, which states that that Yiskayim Ashtar B'choismav, that we have to do kiyum on the shtar, and if he makes any claim, any other claim that the shtar is possible. So then we go according to the shtar. So first we said that seems to be only according to the mayor. So then now we're saying, now we're understanding Rabbi Yochanan, who said divrei hakol he means that it's according to the chachamim. Well, again, then the question is, the chachamim are the ones who say that we believe the edim to say that the shtar is possible. And again, the Gemara answers epoch. Again, it means you'd, according to that, you'd have to flip around Reb Meir's and the chachamim's opinions and say Reb Meir would be the one who says that we believe them to possible and the chachamim are not. Okay, the Gemara says v'hor Rabbi Yochanan raya be'edim kama. Now, in the earlier part of the sugya, we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing again about the meaning of the raya in our Mishnah. What kind of raya do we have to bring? And Rabbi Yochanan saying, we're talking about a raya involving edim. Rish Lakish was the one who said it was a raya involving being mekayim the shtar. But it comes out according to what we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who is the one who's saying that who was talking about moed b'shtar shekosvei. And again, the Gemara answers epoch. You would have to flip around the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and say that the opinion that we attributed to Rabbi Yochanan was really Rish Lakish, and the other way around, and therefore that Rabbi Yochanan would be the one who says that that we need to bring a raya involving kiyum hashtar. The recipients have to be mekayim the shtar, show that the signatures on it are valid and it's not forged, and once they do that, then they have a right to the nechosim, and he can't say I was a shchid merah. Well, the Gemara asks, if you're going to do all that, you're going to do all this flipping around, lema lepuch nami tiyuvda. What about then? So we had in the Gemara before that after Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish said their respective opinions, the Gemara had said Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish from the story in Bnei Brak that we learned about yesterday, where there was a young man who had sold nechosim of his father and died, and the family wanted to claim that he was a katan, that he was below age at the time, and they wanted to check him for simonim, and Rabbi Akiva said you can't do that. So Rabbi Yochanan had used that to ask on Rish Lakish, saying that according to that, that it's easier to understand if we're talking about edim are involved, but if we're talking about a shtar, then what does that have to do with checking him? So now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's svaras were flipped around, and it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds you have to be mekayim the shtar, and Rish Lakish who holds you need edim, then it would have to come out the other way around, that Rish Lakish is the one who asked this question to Rabbi Yochanan. Is that in fact so? The Pashtus, the Gemara is bothered by that, because it's one thing when you have a braisa, for example, or a statement that that this amoda said this and that amoda said that. Generally, we would We could say, okay, you know, whoever memorized it, whoever wrote it or whatever, flipped around the opinions by mistake. But here you have it saying Rabbi Yochanan said such and such to Rish Lakish. It seems very hard to assume that people misremembered it ad kadei kach and they flipped around who said what. So the Gemara answers loy. No, you don't necessarily have to flip that around, because you could say that it was Rabbi Yochanan who pointed it out to Rish Lakish, but he's saying a different consideration. Even if we say Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says the raya involves involves being mekayim the shtar, and Rish Lakish is the one who's saying that it involves edim, still you can say that Rabbi Yochanan brought that case from Bnei Brak to ask on Rish Lakish. Namely, he asks like this: Hachi kamalei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Bishlema l'didi, it's easy to understand, according to me, daminan raya b'kiyum hashtar, where we're saying that the raya that would have to be brought is to be mekayim the shtar, and Rashbam adds, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Chachamim are saying you do not need to be mekayim it, because again, he agrees that it is a valid shtar. We're only arguing about whether he was a shchiv merah at the time. So then that explains Hainu de Mashkachas Law, the Nachsi Lakuchas the Nachasim. That explains in the first place how the Lakuchas got a hold of the property in the first place. Namely, we talked about yesterday what exactly was the scenario over here. We talked about, was it that the family still had possession of the nechassim? The lakuchas are coming and saying, look, we already paid money for him, we want to be able to take over those nechassim. Or is it the other way around, that the lakuchas have already taken possession of it and the family is coming and saying, wait a minute, he was a katan and he wasn't able to sell it? So now if we understand it as if we understand it as we would bepashtus, that we're talking about that the lakuchas are the ones who already have possession of it, and it's the yoshim who are coming and saying, wait he was a child, and the Gemara had said before on it hochinami mistabra, that it was logical to understand it that way. Okay, the Gemara had said maybe the Gemara had pointed out from a detail in the story that seems to be indicated by the fact that when Rabbi Akiva told them you can't do that, you can't unbury him to check, they didn't protest back, so that would indicate that and then the Gemara had said that's why Rabbi Akiva had told them 2 points. He said, first of all, you can't be menavel him, you can't disgrace him by unburying him. Second of all, even you're going to say, well, we're the lakuchas, we don't really care, we paid good money over here, we want our money's worth. You have to realize, Rabbi Akiva says to them, simonim asuyin leishtanis la'achamisa, the simonim may well have changed in appearance after he died, and therefore, even if you find simonim on him now, doesn't show that he had them before. So that shows, in other words, so that detail of the story seems to demonstrate that we're talking about it was the lakuchas who were claiming we already have, or rather it's the other way around. The Gemara had said it's more logical that the bnei mishpacha, that the family, were the ones who were coming and being ma'arer, because that would explain why as soon as Rabbi Akiva told them you can't be menavel him, then they didn't answer back. If it was the lakuchas, they might well have said, we don't care about Nivel, but because it's his own family, then that matters to them. So it's more likely that it was the lakuchas already in possession of the nechassim, and it's the bnei mishpacha that are coming to claim. Well, so says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish. So if you're going to tell me, as I hold now, as the Gemara is saying, after we flipped around Rabbi Yochanan's and Rish Lakish's opinions, that we're talking about, so they have a shtar, the lakuchas have a shtar in their possession that the property was sold to them. The family is not saying the shtar is forged, they're just saying he was little and therefore it's possible for a different reason. Well, that explains how the lakuchas were able to take over the property in the first place. They had a shtar, and therefore Beis Din allowed them to go and take over the property. Rabbeinu Yonah points out the Yad Ramah points out, why did the Gemara even need that? We could assume, why do we need to say that Beis Din allowed them to? They took it over illegally, let's say. And he says, because then we wouldn't call it in their chazakah. Other Rishonim disagree with that point, and in fact, the Rashbam on earlier in the sugya, when we first brought up this point, and various other Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, what it means, all it means is the family probably wouldn't have allowed them in the first place to make a chazak on it to begin with if they didn't have a shtar. So therefore, since they have a shtar, and apparently the shtar is valid, they're just arguing on different grounds that it should be possible because he was a katan, then therefore we can say that the lakuchas in fact have the chazak on it now. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rish Lakish, he's bringing that story, not as we said in the Gemara before, because we assumed Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says you need Edim, and he's saying in that case, then that's where that the story seems to work better with them needing Edim, but on the contrary, If you say they needed to be Mekayim the Shtar, that explains, because they had the Shtar in the first place, is why they went into the Nechassim and started taking them over. Ella, but Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, "L'didoch da'amet raya be'edim." You're saying the raya needs to involve edim. Heichem ashkachas la denachsi lakuchas menachasim. Then how did the lakuchas get a hold of the property in the first place? According to you, Rashbam continues that according to you, Rish Lakish, we don't need to flip around the opinions in our Mishnah. The Chachamim are the ones who are saying amotzi mechaber l'varaya. that means that they would need Edim in order to be able to have possession of the property. Well, they don't have Edim that he was a gadol, because if they had Edim, they wouldn't be asking to dig up the body. So therefore, so doesn't that show that we have to be talking about a matter involving a shtar rather than a matter of Edim? So in other words, the point is that even with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that the that and then and what we just said in the Gemara before, that several opinions that we just said are flipped around, and that we have to flip around Rabbi Yochanan's and Rish Lakish's respective opinions, we can still say that the Bnei HaYeshiva who reported Rabbi Yochanan asking this question to Rish Lakish are still correct in that. But we understood differently what Rabbi Yochanan's point was in bringing this Braisa, and now we're understanding it differently. So according to that, Rish Lakish answers back, Amalei, so Rish Lakish would answer back, Medinalach ba'ara de bnei mishpacha. I would agree when it comes, it's different when you have the family is coming and being ma'ara and protesting that he was a katan. That yes, we're talking about that it was the family protesting. We're talking about the lakuchas already had possession of it. You're asking if according to me they need edim, then... And how did they get the property in the first place? I would say the lav aru. I would say that protest of theirs is not really valid. So therefore, that the lekuchas would be able to take over the property even if they don't bring edim. I'm saying that according to the chachamim of our Mishnah, you do need edim hamotzim chavel varaya, and they should need edim because my kamri. Because after all, the family's claim is not that the shtar is invalid or not that they're or anything like that. All they're saying cotton, all they're saying is that he was a cotton at the time. Well, we have a chazaka going against that. We have a chazaka that the edim to begin with are not going to sign the shtar unless they know that he was a gadol at the time. And is able to do the kinyan. So the very fact itself that we have a shtar in this case demonstrates that it must have been valid at the time, and therefore that he was a gadol. So that wouldn't necessarily tell us about other cases. For example, when a person says, "Yes, I wrote the shtar, and yes, the edim on it are valid. However, I already paid off the debt," or something like that, then we might say tzorach l'kaimer that he does need to validate the shtar. But over here, we would say, once they have a shtar, and we have every reason to, and again, the family is not claiming that the shtar itself is invalid. They're just claiming that there's a side issue that he was a katan. Then Rish Lakish would say that doesn't mean anything, because we would tell them that Edim wouldn't have signed on the shtar to begin with unless they knew that he was a gadol. And the Rashba actually points out in the Tshuva the same thing applies to other kinds of pastels as well. The same thing applies when you have the kind of thing when you have most something where most Edim and most Sofrim in a place are going to know that that a person is possible to do such and such a transaction, then they wouldn't write the shtar in the first place, because we would assume they know it, and they wouldn't do it if they know that that's the case. So now that Rashbam summarizes over here, he says, given that we're saying over here that we flipped around some opinions, and we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds, and we said also we learned earlier in the sugya that Shmuel also holds moide b'shtar shekosve in sarach l'kaimoi, that again, when you have a case of a loiva, or in this case a shrivmera, who wrote a document and he admits that it's valid, but he's saying I've since paid it off, or I was a shrivmera or whatever. So the Rashbam says the halacha would in fact be in sarach l'kaimoi, and therefore that no further raya is needed. All they need is they have the shtar, and that they have the shtar, and therefore they would need so what kind of evidence would they need? Where the Chachamim are saying in the Mishnah, motzim chaver l'raya, they would need so they wouldn't need anything further. Because they have a shtar, and he himself admits that it's valid, and the same thing would be as far as Edim saying that we were ketanim or psulim or what have you. Then the din would be that they don't have the ability to passel it. That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos disagrees, and as we've learned earlier, and says that it's true, the Gemara is saying over here that we're flipping around opinions and everything, but still, that doesn't mean the halacha ends up being like that, because yes, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel saying over here, ain't sarach l'kaimoi, but you have a different Gemara in Ksubas that we referred to yesterday, that where Rabbi Nachman says that you do need l'kaimoi. And the halacha is like Reb Nachman and Dinei Mamonos, and therefore the result would be that you do in fact need to be mekayim it, and therefore in our case over here, when he claims that he was a shchivmera, yes, they're going to have to bring a raya, and the raya is going to be, it's not enough to, they're going to have to be mekayim the shtar, but actually they're going to need edim as well, that he was in fact a shchivmera, that he was in fact a bori at the time, and if not, then if they can't bring such a raya, then it means that he was a shchivmera, and therefore they have to give back the nechassim. A couple of other relevant details in this, by the way. The Rabbi Akiva Eger points out earlier in the sugya that when we're saying that that the lakuchas had taken over the property and that would mean they had to have some kind of raya for that to happen, and we said the Yad Ramah points out it doesn't just mean that they just took it over without checking with Beis Din, because then we wouldn't call it that they were muchzik, but the Rashbam meanwhile says that it doesn't matter either way, they would be considered muchzik. So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out another point as well, that we touched yesterday on the concept of chazaka derava. We have when usually we assume that when a man or a woman has reached a certain age, 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, then we assume we have a chazaka to say that they already have simonim of an adult, and therefore that they're considered an adult lahalacha. So that being the case, then why does the Gemara have to assume that they had to have a shtar in order to take over the nechassim in the first place? Why couldn't they rely on chazaka derava and say that would have been good enough? So the Rabbi Akiva Eger brings up the question. The Chazon Ish actually gives an explanation, which we so first of all, there are Rishonim who learn that the Chazaka Derava doesn't work with things Daraisa, and here we're talking about ownership of land, which is a matter of Daraisa, and therefore it wouldn't work. Chazaka Derava works only with Dirabanans. But the Chazon Ish gives a different answer, which is Chazaka Derava is not good enough to take out Mammon from one person to another. It's enough for a person to be able to keep what they have, for example. But here we're talking about the lakuchas want to use that chazaka to say, therefore he was a gadol, therefore we should be entitled to take over this land, not necessarily. And therefore they would need to bring some kind of raya. And again, as we learned before, they weren't able to bring the raya, and therefore they asked for the body to be dug up. And Rabbi Akiva told them, you can't do that. More on this topic as far as young people selling property. Itmar, we have a discussion. From what age can a cotton sell nechosim of his father? So nechosim that he inherited from his father. Now the Rashbam points out. Now, when it comes to we're talking about over here as far as selling karka, because when we're selling metalthalin, there's actually a different gemara that says that in fact the chachamim gave children pe'utis, they're called children below bar bas mitzvah, the ability to buy and sell metalthalin because they need to earn money for themselves. But when it comes to karka, then the chachamim did not want to do that, and Adrabba was saying that we want to restrict how old they have to be, at least a certain minimum age, in order to be able to sell karka, because we're concerned they don't really know the value of karka yet. The Rashbam, within that, you have several different machlokas who showed him. The Rashbam learns, and so does the Rif, and other Rishonim that we're talking about over here, specifically when he inherited it from his father. We're not talking about when he bought it himself or received it as a matana. Then we would say that it's one thing. Then we can assume that he has some idea of the value of it. But when it comes to he got it for free. He got it as a yerusha from his father or from other people who bequeathed it to him. Then he doesn't really understand the value of it, and he might sell it too cheaply. And then the chachamim don't want him to sell it until he reaches a certain age. And as we're going to discuss in this sugya, when he's a certain age and has a certain degree of understanding, then he can sell it, but not before. That's according to the Rashbam and the Rif and some other Rishonim. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that says that no, we're talking about even when he himself bought the land or got it as a gift or whatever. Then no, we're saying that later on in the sugya we say that children are very interested in money, so they think that money is all it's at. They don't realize that tangible other tangible assets such as land can be worth much more, and therefore they're likely to sell it cheaply and to undervalue it even if they bought it themselves or whatever. So therefore, according to that, it would be that even when they bought land from somebody else, then they wouldn't be able to sell it. They wouldn't be able to sell it when they're below the cutoff ages that the Gemara is going to talk about over here. In Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like the Rashbam and the Rif. In addition, you also have a machlokas Rishonim, whether all of this applies to selling land. Tosfos further on says, of course they can sell. There's no chiddush in that. The question is only of course they can buy land, Tosfos says. The question is only as far as selling it, that they may undervalue it when they sell it. On the other hand, the Rishonim bring from the Rimigash that says that no, he can't sell it, as we're saying in the Gemara over here. He also can't buy it. And the idea is the Shita Mukubetzes explains that the Rimigash would say once we're saying that he can't sell it because we're afraid that he may sell it too cheaply. So then that's also going to include that he can't buy it either. So from what age can a child sell nechosim that he inherited from his father? So again, according to the Rashbam, we're talking about strictly that he inherited. According to Tosfos, we'd be talking about, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we'd also be talking about when he bought it. Rova Amar Nachman ben Shmona Esther Shana. So Rova says in the name of Rav Nachman, he has to be at least 18 years old. On the other hand, Rav Huna bar Chinina says also in the name of Rav Nachman that he has to be ben Estrim Shana. He has to be 20. He has to be 20 years old. The halacha is actually like the second version. He has to be 20 years old. And in Chassidus, it talks about. So first of all, actually, there's an interesting explanation from Yonis and Ivashitz that we have. There's the expression in Pirkei Avos, ben shishim l'zikna, a person when he reached 60 years old is the age of zikna. Zikna is zeshakana chachma, means that he becomes wise. Why is that? Because the Gemara tells us elsewhere that a person needs 40 years to learn until he fully understands. So he starts at 20, he develops full das at 20, and therefore he needs 40 years, and therefore at 60 he's ben shishim l'zikna. The fact is, we see also that based in Shamaila doesn't punish a person until he's 20. Apichsidus, there's something else that ever brings, there's a short mimer in the Kutta Torah in Parshas Bamidbar. We find the Jewish people in the desert were counted only from 20 years old. So the Altad Eber explains over there that at 20, you have a person has Murchin de Abba. Up until that point, he has Midas, and he has like a weak kind of Murchin, but only at 20 years old does a person develop Makife Abba. He has also that his Seichel and his Midas are encompassed by a higher level of understanding as well. Kesser, and he talks about the idea that if you take the letter Yud, and which represents the Murchin and the Midas altogether, the 10 of them, and you spell it out, Yud Vav Dalet, then the gematria is 20. So that represents the idea that at 20 a person reaches a new stage where now he has full moichin, or he's expected to anyway, have full moichin and full midas, and therefore now that means that now he's able to sell property that he inherited from his father, representing another, because he has a higher level, he has Moichin de Abba, he has Makifim de Abba, and therefore now he's able to sell property that came from his father. So two different opinions, 18 or 20. V'hodof Rava Laba Ferush Itmar, Elami Klola Itmar. When Rava says 18, it's not that he said it explicitly, it's that we infer it from something else that Rava says, which means the halacha may not necessarily be like it, and in fact it's not. That's in parenthesis, Marshal and Hagos Habach take out this line. Later on Omid Beis, we're going to mention that point in a different, in further on in the sugya, that what Rava said in this connection is something that we infer from something else he says, but it doesn't belong yet over here. So Mosi Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira says, then I have a contradiction. So you're telling me, Rava, that you're telling that once he's 18, he's already able to sell property that he bought from his father, and we can't say, well, he was a cotton and he didn't know what he was doing. But we have that story from Bnei Brak that we talked about in the previous sugya. Ma'aseh b'Bnei Brak be'echad shemocha b'nichzei avu rumes. In Bnei Brak, it happened that a person sold nechosim that he had inherited from his father. And then he died. And the family came and protested that he was a cotton at the time when he died. And we talked about yesterday, is it that he died shortly after the sale? In which case, then we could say that he may have been a cotton at the time of the sale as well, because it was shortly before. Or is it that he sold and then sometime later he died? And the question is, yeah. So they came and asked Rabbi Akiva, can they examine the body? Can they dig him up and examine the body for simanim? Omar Laham, and he told them, Iyatim Rashoim Lanavlo, you're not allowed to disgrace him, as we talked about yesterday. And anyway, the simanim might change in appearance after he dies, so therefore, so it wouldn't do any good anyway. We brought that braisa before, and we were analyzing what kind of raya the lekuchas had to bring in the first place, and so on and so forth. But now Rav Zeira says there's a different point we can derive from this braisa. So we can derive from it on the face of it what age he needed to be in order for it to be a valid transaction. So if you say like Rava that he only has to be 18 years old, so well, that explains why the Bnei Mishpacha are saying that we need to check whether he has Shtei Cyrus yet. Meaning, in other words, it's not enough for him to be 18 years old. He also needs to have Shtei Cyrus. When it comes to mitzvahs and other things like that, then already at 13, as long as he has Shtei Cyrus, then he's chayiv in mitzvahs. And in fact, because of Chazaka de Rava, we usually say that at 13, we assume he has Shtei Cyrus. But here, what it would be is, they would say he might be 18, but nonetheless, he may not have Shtei Cyrus, and therefore, we need to check that, and he wouldn't be able to sell this property unless it was both. He was 18 and he had Shtei Cyrus. Eli Amit mi ben Esrim, but the Gemara asks, so Rav Zeira asks, if you're saying that he has to be 20 years old, he bodkule may have. What's the difference? Even if they check him and they find that he does not have Shtei Cyrus, that wouldn't demonstrate that he's a cotton. V'hotnan, we learn in a Mishnah, in Masechtim Nida, Ben Estrim Shlahevi Shtei Cyrus, when you have a 20-year-old man, or woman for that matter, but here we're focusing on a man, Shlahevi Shtei Cyrus, he hasn't yet developed Shtei Cyrus. So what happens? So now you have a concept in halacha called a sris. The Swiss Chama in full. This is a person whose body, this is a man, there's an equivalent for a woman called an Ilonis, whose body never physically matures properly. They don't develop the normal simonim, the normal bodily simonim of an adult. With a man, it includes Shtei Cyrus, it includes a beard, it includes that his voice deepens, and so on and so forth. So now you have a situation where he's 20 and he hasn't developed Shtei Cyrus yet. Yavir Raya Shuben Estrim, then they would have to bring proof that he is, in fact, 20 years old. So you'd have Adim, for example, who can testify when he was born. Vuhu Hasoris, and then the din would be that he has, then he would be considered a din, then he would be considered a soris. So in other words, what we're talking about is, for example, he was married, he died without children. Now the question is whether his almana is going to need yibum or chalitza. So Yavir Raya Shuben Estrim, so they have to bring proof that he was at least 20 years old. V'hu Asoris, and then he has the halacha of Asoris Lecholitz V'loi B'yamim. So then no chalitza or no yib, and no chalitza is necessary, and no yibum is possible. And the same thing would apply also that the same thing would apply that his almana would also not need chalitza or yibum. The Gemara in Yevamos learned it from Psukim, but in any case, the point is. So he could very well be 20, and a soris is considered la halacha to be a full gadol. So you could have, then he's 20 years old, he doesn't have Shtei Cyrus, but maybe he was a soris. So in that story, why is the family saying, let's unbury him and let's check whether he has Shtei Cyrus? Why? If you're saying he has to be 20 to be able to sell anyhow, then at 20, it wouldn't matter whether he had Shtei Cyrus or not. So doesn't that show, therefore, that doesn't that show, therefore, that it means that he would have that it would be like Rava, that he needs to be only 18. That's Tosfos actually gives on the previous Amud gives a different explanation of the flow of the Gemara. If you're going to say that he was 18, if you're going to say that he only needs to be 18 in order to sell, and therefore, again, as we said before, the Lakuchas already had the property, and the family are coming and protesting and saying Katan Hoya, and they would have to bring a raya that he was a Katan, and they couldn't find Adim that he was there. They couldn't find Adim that he was 18, and therefore they're saying that let's check and see if he has Shtei Cyrus. But again, we said before, Edim are going to sign a shtar only if they know that he was a gadol. So therefore, if they had been able to find Edim, then that would have been good enough. But they couldn't find. But if you're telling me that, but if you're telling me he needs to be 20 years old, then it doesn't. Then at 20, he's a gadol one way or the other, because either he has shtei Cyrus or he's a saris. So therefore, so that means, in other words, that we can use that chazaka that the Edim would only sign if they know that he's a gadol to establish that he was a saris, and therefore that there'd be no need to check for shtei Cyrus. So the Gemara answers, "Lav itman Allah." Don't you know there was said on it that there was a detail about that. When we say that at 20 he's considered a soris, there's a detail within that. That would apply only if he's actually developed the physical signs of a soris. Meaning, in other words, it's not enough that he doesn't have shtei cyrus. You would actually have to have the nivomus. It brings a number of different physical simonim by which we can see that he's a soris, that his body is not only not developing, but that is not only not developing normally, but that he's developing signs that show that he is a soris. And the Gemara gives a number of them over there. Besides that, he doesn't have a beard. His voice stays high. His skin. When he bathes in hot water during the cold weather, his body doesn't steam. Steam doesn't come up. Doesn't come up from his body, showing, in other words, that his flesh is cold. Whatever the case, you have a number of simonim the Gemara brings over there, which show the pashtus, I guess you would say in modern medical terms, it means that he has some kind of hormonal imbalance or something. Whatever the case, the point is, when he has those actual simonim, plus he doesn't have shtei cyrus by 20, then it means that he's a soris. But you can also have where he doesn't have shtei cyrus, but he doesn't have those simonim either. Therefore, yes, you can very well have a case where he doesn't have shtei cyrus, but he doesn't have the simonim soris either. So therefore, so here he didn't have simonei soris yet. Therefore, we would assume he has. Therefore, we would think maybe he has shtei cyrus. Maybe in fact he is a gadol, and we just didn't realize. And therefore, the family wanted to check, and Rabbi Akiva told them that no. So that doesn't contradict Rav Huna. That doesn't contradict Rav Huna Bachinina, that in fact he has to be 20 in order to be able to sell the property in the first place. Incidentally, as far as that, when we're saying that if he develops simonei soris, then he's considered a gadol. He's considered a soris. The Gemara actually elsewhere discusses in Nida, where it discusses this sugya, where it discusses this point. It says he has to be 30 days. It mentions 20 years and it mentions 30 days. The Rambam understands it to mean when he's 19 years old plus 30 days, and he develops these simonim, then he's considered a gadol. The Ravid and most other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and say it means that he's 1 month short of his 20th birthday. Anyway, so again over here. You could say that in fact he has to be 20 years old. Normally by 20 a man has shtei cyrus. In this case, we didn't know whether he had shtei cyrus. He also doesn't have simonei soris. He doesn't have the clear simonim that show that he's a soris, such as a high voice and the various other things that high pitched voice and the various other things that the Gemara mentions over there. Therefore, they figured they want to check him for simonim and see maybe Taka by 20 he's developed those simonim. And Rabbi Akiva told them they can't do that. Omar Rava Dekanami. In fact, Rava says you can see that actually from the wording of the Mishnah, that it's not just a matter of that he doesn't have shtei cyrus. When the Mishnah says v'hu asoris, means only if he has simonei soris. Mid katani, because the Mishnah uses the expression v'hu hasoris. So in other words, the word v'hu ha'soris doesn't suggest that we're just defining and saying that and saying that that is the definition of a soris. Rather, we're saying, when does this apply? Only when he is a soris by the simonim of that. So shmamina, so yeah, that proves it. So it's not enough that he doesn't have shtei sairus for him to be considered at 20 or close to 20, as the Rambam and the Raiva discuss. For him to be considered a soris, it would be not only that he doesn't have shtei sairus, but that he has the actual physical simonim that show that he's a soris, a high-pitched voice and no beard and the various other simonim that the Gemara mentions over there. So the Gemara asks, by the way, So the Gemara asks, by the way, okay, so if he doesn't develop those physical simonim of a soris, but he also doesn't have shtei sairus, up to what point? So now the point is, until he develops shtei sairus, or he develops simonim sris, then he's considered a cotton. So at what point do we, say that he goes from cotton to gadol? If he never develops shtei sairus, but he never develops the simonim sris either, is he going to stay a cotton his entire life? So Gemara says Tani Rav Chiya ad roiv shnoisav. So Rav Chiya taught in a braisa that he will retain that state until he reaches the majority of his life. Now, the usual life expectancy is 70. Yemei shnei seinu b'hevim shivim shana, as it says in the pasuk. So therefore, when he reaches his 35th birthday, when he enters into his 30, the Rashbam uses the expression 36 years. The Rambam phrases it, it means once he reaches his 35th birthday, maybe the Rashbam would agree with that, that's what it means, when he reaches his 36th year. At that point, he's more than halfway through normal life expectancy. At that point, he's going to be considered a gadol no matter what. Whether he has shtei sairus, if he had shtei sairus before that, of course, then he would be a gadol before that. If he developed simonim sris before that, from age 20 and on, then he would also be considered a gadol. But if not, no shtei sairus, no simonim sris, then he remains a katan until he's 35. So the Gemara brings, by the way, in this connection, he also the kamed Rav Chiya. When people would bring cases like this to Rav Chiya, you'd have a case where a person does not have the simonim, the shtei sairus, but he doesn't have simonim sris either. So you would have a person is being delayed in developing those shtei sairus. So Rav Chiya would tell them, e kokish, if they brought him a skinny boy, omalahu, then Rav Chiya would tell them, before you come and ask me, livri, fatten him up by giving him food. The e ivri, and if he's already fat, omalahu likhush, then he would tell them, put him on a diet and make him eat less. The hani simoni, zimnin de osu machmas krishosa, the zimnin de osu machmas bayusa. Sometimes the simonim come more easily when a person is leaner and sometimes more easily when they're fatter. So in other words, so like this, let's first see whether it's just a matter of nutrition that's causing him to not develop the shtei sairus. If afterwards we find that nevertheless he's not developing shtei sairus, whether when he was skinny and when he was fat, then we can start talking about that maybe he's never going to develop them, and maybe he's going to be a soris, and he may have to be a cotton until he's 35. But we're going to have to do that first. We're going to have to check whether that might be a factor that might cause the shtei sairus to develop or not develop. Tosfos brings, and then Agoris Habach also brings a different girsa, that not whether they're going to develop depending on whether he's fat or skinny, but whether they might fall out. Now you might have that he doesn't have shtei sairus, and you don't see them over there. Why? Because they grew and then they fell out. So the same kind of thing you could have. They could fall out because he's too skinny and he's not eating enough, or he's not getting the proper nutrients, or the other way around, that they may fall out because he's overeating and getting fat. So that would be another point that we're not talking about them developing in the first place. But here we check after a time, the boy is 14, 15, whatever, and we don't see that he's developed shtei sairus. So Rav Chiya would tell them that it might not be a matter of hormones or whatever, it might be a matter of nutrition, and we need to deal with that and then see if the shtei sairus grow back.
Medically, all these assumptions don't stand at all. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to equate hormonal with mental health. It doesn't. And by the way, many times it's been proved wrong that because you don't have Stesaris, you're not mentally fit to understand financial issues. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I
It doesn't
hear
make
what you're
any
saying.
sense.
I hear what you're saying, but let's consider it like this. After all, we have the fact is we're discussing in the sugya over here, there has to be a certain age. It's not a matter of mental fitness. It's a matter of practical real-world experience. But in any case, think of it. If you had a boy below 13 or a girl below 12, would we allow them to sell karka? No. Even the fact that they can sell metalglin is a special takana of the chachamim. Because generally speaking, we assume that physical maturity and mental maturity go together. So therefore, we have to have a rule over here. If he doesn't have the things that in halacha define him as a gadol, which means either shtei sairis or simonei sairis, yeah, he may be a very intelligent person, but nevertheless, the rules are the rules. We still have to consider him a katan, and a katan by definition is not able to sell certain kinds of things.
Well then you have to separate physical from mental age,
That's
and you
fine.
assess
That's
mental
fine.
age
But
to
again,
see if he's a problem.
that's fine. But you could have, for example, a very you could have a super smart 10 or 11 year old. You know, Jewish history is full of Iluyim of great people who were tremendously knowledgeable when they were 10 or when they were 9, 10, 11 years old. Nevertheless, halacha is halacha. They're still considered ktanim for all the purposes in halacha. They're technically not chayiv in mitzvahs yet. They're and so on and so forth. That's just how it is. Mind you, there is actually something that the Rebbe Rashab talks about in Kuntres HaTfila. He says when we talk about that a boy below 13 or a girl below 12 doesn't have das, he says das really means not so much understanding, but empathy, the ability to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and see things from their perspective. A child, no matter how smart he is, doesn't usually have that ability to do that. Obviously, again, there might be exceptions, but Torah Allah Roiv Tadabra, the Torah talks about the majority case. So I guess we could say by the same token over here, or Sris, or a person who doesn't have either Shtei Sairis or Simone Sris, he might be very intelligent, but he lacks that quality of das. And here, what's
So,
more relevant, what's more relevant for our Gemara over here anyway, is that he doesn't necessarily have the real world experience to understand the value of karka versus anything else.
you're going to prevent anyone who doesn't have that definition of das, which is empathy, as you mentioned, to buy land or sell
No.
land
No,
or transact financially? I
what we're
mean,
saying in the sugya over here is basically once he's 20. Once he's 18 according to Rava or 20 according to Rav Huna Bar Chinina, and he has Shtei Sairis, as most people do by that age, then we're going to allow him to sell land, even that he inherited from his father, and we're not going to do anything further. We are going to talk about further in the Gemara. We are going to talk about in a little bit in the Gemara. We're going to talk about where we clearly see that a person is lacking in das. So yes, you do have, we do, in other words, what it is by default, we expect that a 18 or 20-year-old, 20 la halacha, who has Shtei Sairis is capable of doing that. It's true that if we find, for whatever reason, that he lacks that das, even at that age, then we have to deal with that as the next piece of Gemara is going to go on to talk about. But ordinarily, we assume he does. Ordinarily, below that age, we assume that he does not. Does that mean that there can be exceptions? Does that mean there can be exceptions? And maybe at below that age, he would be able to, if we see that he's sharp and he knows what he's doing. That's also going to be a subject of the next piece of Gemara over here. But first, we have to establish the basic rules.
so the separation line is 20 years old.
So then, for generally speaking, the separation line is 20 years old. Yes, So again, are there
So,
exceptions? So are there exceptions to that? That's going to be the next piece of Gemara is going to discuss that point.
in Jewish law, someone who's less than 20 cannot buy land or sell land
Ah, so that's we talked
or
about
real
before.
estate.
That's we talked about before. As far as buying, there's machlokas rishonim. Many rishonim hold that there's no problem with him buying it. There's only a problem with him selling it. Within that, we have the Rashbam saying the problem is only when he inherited the property, but not when he bought it himself, then he would freely be able to sell it. We said that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with, and the Rif also hold that way. Rabbeinu Tam disagreed and said he can't sell any real estate, whether he bought it himself, whether he inherited it or whatever. And as far as selling, Tosfos takes it as an obvious fact that he could sell, and most other Rishonim follow suit, although the Rimi Gash disagrees.
So let's say someone who's 20 started at 17 a business, and now the business is worth a few million dollars. He wants to sell it. Al pi halacha, he wouldn't be allowed to sell it.
Why ever not? He's 20. Once he's 20, he can do whatever he wants.
If he's less than 20.
If he's less than 20, so then we're saying that he has restrictions on selling karka. Again, according to the Rashbam, since he built the business himself, it wouldn't be a problem. According to Rabbi Natan, it might be a problem because we're saying a blanket statement that we don't want him to sell land. But that's as far as land. We're not talking about the business is not land. That's metal. That may have the din of metaltalin. That's something he's selling the assets of the business. A lot of them are probably metaltalin. But again, we're gonna, Avraham Moshe, we do need to go on. We do need to finish over here. But time's running short. But so we can discuss afterwards privately if you want. But as I said, the next piece of Gemara is going to talk about where we see that a person does have those capabilities. Does that mean that we can make an exception and allow him at a lower age? That's going to be the next piece of Gemara over here.
Okay,
so the Gemara asks, Iboilahu. So now we have a question. When we say 18 or 20, let's go 20 because that's the halacha. Toichzman kalifnezman oy kalachazman. When we talk about during the 20th year itself, does that mean that he's already considered at that point like above 20? In other words, when we say 20, does it mean having entered his 20th year, having reached his 19th birthday? So toichzman kalifnezman would be within that 20th year, he has the same din as below that. So in other words, until he actually reaches his 20th birthday, then we have these restrictions. When he's 19, would be the same as when he's 18 and 17 and so forth. Or do we say that the 20th year already is considered like afterwards, meaning in other words, that from his 19th birthday and on, he would be able to do this. So Omer Rava, Omer Rav Nachman, Toichzman Kalifnezman. So here also we have a machlokas. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman that during that year, during that 20th year, he's considered like when he was younger. Whereas Rava Bar Shila brings from Rav Nachman that no, during that 20th year is already like La'achazman, and therefore it means that he's already able to from age 19 and on. And the Gemara points out for Hodur Rava. Now, when Rava is saying that Toichzman Kalifnezman, that 20th year is still considered like the ages before, Lav Vafedush Itmar. Rava didn't say that explicitly. Elamiklola Itmar, rather we deduce it from a story that from a case that was brought to Rava. Dahu Toichzman, the Ozol Zabin Nichsi. There was exactly a case like that. A person who was, now okay, according to Rava himself, we said on Amud Aleph, the cutoff age is 18. So the case would be that he was 17 then. Within Rav Huna Bar Chinina's opinion, which is the halacha, we'd be talking about that he was 19. Whatever. So the Ozol Zabin Nichsi. He went and sold property that he had inherited from his father of Osel Kamedirov, the Osel Kamedirova, and they came to Rava to ask whether he was allowed to do that. And Rava said, what he did doesn't count, it's not a valid sale. Mandachosa, so someone who saw Rava paskining that, Savar, he thought, Mishum the Toichzman Kalifnezman. He thought that Rava paskin that way because he held that during that year is still considered like the ages before it. Now, it doesn't mention Rav Nachman in this case over here, but the Gemara knew, says the Rosh, that Rava was saying that because Rava was paskening like that in the name of Rav Nachman. And therefore, that justifies, the Gemara says, so therefore, that would justify us saying that Rava had said in the name of Rav Nachman such and such. But the Gemara says, Valoihi, actually, that's not the case. In this particular case, it's not, that wasn't the factor. The difference is Hosam Shtusi Yiserta Chazabei. In that case, Rava saw that this young man is acting in a very foolish way, in a way that shows that he doesn't really understand the value of things. He was going and freeing his Avodim Knanim without a good reason. Now, there's an issue asset to do that, but we're not even focusing on that. We're talking about Poshidis taking a valuable asset and then wasting it for no reason. So therefore, Rava's saying that's why we don't allow him to sell. He might be considered of age to be able to sell, but on the other hand, we see that. We see that he doesn't have the ability to understand what's going on as far as buying and selling, and therefore Rava paskin that his sale is invalid. Now, you do have a concept in halacha called a shoyte. You have a person who's actually considered in halacha a shoyte. The Gemara in Chagiga talks about various details within that, various things that he might do that make him a shoyte. But here we're talking about, it's not even that he's a shoyte, but we see that he doesn't really understand how money works and how things works. And therefore, Rava is saying that, that he doesn't have the ability to sell in this case, because in other words, it's not just a matter of the age; it is, in fact, a matter of the mental maturity as well. And in this case, Rava saw that he doesn't have it. In fact, the Yad Ramah says that if you see that a person is acting like that, then it wouldn't matter how old he is, even if he's long past the age of adulthood. Then the Yad Ramah and Rabbeinu Yonah say that in that case we wouldn't allow him to sell. Again, he might not be considered a real shoita. He wouldn't really be considered a real shoita al pi halacha. He would be chayiv in other mitzvahs and whatnot. But when it comes to karka, we wouldn't allow him to sell for the same reason. So we see, in other words, it's not just a matter of the age, it's a matter of the mental maturity, and here Rava saw that he doesn't have it. All right, so the Gemara continues in this connection. Shtolach le Gidol bar Menashe le Rava. So Gidol bar Menashe sent a shayla to Rava, on the side of it here it says really it should be to Rav, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe teach us, Kinoikas bas arba esher shana v'yem echad. When you have a girl who's 14 years old, yodas b'tiv maso matan, and she understands what buying and selling is all about. She's sharp for her age, and she understands what the meaning of money is. And we are talking about that she does have the simonim, or she does have the regular shtei sairus. But the question is though. Still, she's only 14. Mahu, what would be the din? Can she sell the property that she inherited from her father or not? Shalachlei, so Rav sent back im yedas b'tiv maso matan. Yes, if she understands what buying and selling is all about, and she understands what's going on over here. Then then she's able to buy things freely and she's able to sell things freely. So yes, in that case, it would work. So even though she's below the age, it would work because the whole reason for the takana was because they don't understand the value of things. So, but she does understand. So she has chokhmah yisera. So therefore it will work. Now that's according to the Rashbam and Tosfos. So it comes out according to them that when we said 18 or 20, it's not as we were just discussing before. It's not a hard and fast rule. We really have to evaluate what the child is capable of. On the other hand, a number of Rishonim explain differently. They say that no, when it comes to the Takana of
7:45.
When it comes to the takana that you can't sell what you yarshin from your father below a certain age, that's how it is across the board. A very sharp child, 14-year-old girl who really is on the ball, doesn't matter. Takana is a takana. What we're talking about over here is as far as other nechassim, would they be able to buy and sell freely? So therefore, so according to those who shown him, that would mean that the takana you still have the takana. So to answer your question from before about an 18-year-old, about a 16-year-old or whatever who started a business, then the answer would be according to the Rashbam and Tosfos, then fine. Gesunta hate, we see he's yedei b'tiv maso matan. He can buy and sell as he wishes. According to many other who shown him, we would say if we're talking about nechassim that he bought that he inherited from his father, those were still going to restrict him from selling until he's 20, but other nechassim, yeah, he would be able to sell more freely because we see over here that he's sharp and he's on the ball. Okay, so the Gemara asked, why?
Well, you know what? You can sell a piece of porcelain that's worth 10 million and not knowing that it is, and that can be at age 50 just as well as age 18
that's
or
fine,
15.
But nevertheless, one point is that Rishonim point out metaltlin depreciate, land generally does not. So therefore a person might be more able to figure out and to be able to sell metaltlin for their proper value. I mean, okay, he may need people to help him out to figure out the value of it, but at least as opposed to karka, where a person is more likely to think. When a person is more likely to think it's the way it is now is the way it's always going to be. Karka is very permanent, and therefore he may not realize the true value of it. In addition, another point as well is that the Gemara is mentioning in this connection that children like money, well, they also like metaltlin. Karka seems something more abstract to them, so therefore maybe not. But in any case, like I said, we need to get going. So let's continue, and we can discuss. I mean, we're going to continue discussing this point tomorrow in the Gemara as well. That's the sham. But let's go on over here. Anyway. So the Gemara asked v'lishlach le'tinoik. So why did Gidol bar Menashe ask a question dafka about a girl? Why not ask more generally about a child, a boy? The answer is ma'aseh shehaya kachaya, because that was the actual case that Gidol bar Menashe was dealing with a 14-year-old girl, and therefore he asked about that. Same thing. Why doesn't he ask about when she's 12? And the same thing. Because the actual case that came before him involved that it was a girl and she happened to be 14 years old. Now, so again, the Gemara says, "V'hod Rava lava fedush itmar ela mekola itmar." What Rava said about Tuchman Kalifne's man, about that the year when they turn 20 is considered like the years before that, and they can't yet sell. That Rava didn't say befedush, but rather mekola. We deduce it from a case. Dahu pochus mi ben estrim, because there was a boy less than 20 years old, so he went and sold property that he inherited from his father, like Gido Baminashia, like this thing that we just had with Gido Baminashia, where even though he was 20, he might have the ability to. There's different gersois over here, which is why you have the parenthesis and the brackets and all that. Anyway, also the kamei de Rava, so they came to Rava to ask whether he was able to do that. The boy himself comes to Rava to say, "I was a cotton at the time, and I didn't understand what I was doing, and I want to be able to retract the sale." Omre le kruve. So the relatives of the boy said, "Here's how you're going to accomplish that." Now, if you just go to Rava and tell him that you were a boy, he was going to say, "Well, how do we know? The fact is, you sold, and the other people bought, and we have every reason to think that you were a gadol and you knew what you were doing." So the relatives told the boy, do act in a way that's going to make it look like you're a shoita. Zil echol tamri, go eat dates. The shode bekashdiyasa be Rava, and throw the pits on the ground in front of Rava. So he's going to think that you're a shoita, and then he's going to think that you didn't know what you were doing, and therefore you'll be able to get your nechosim back. Ovad hachi, so he did that. Omalahu, so Rava says, apparently he is a shoita. Zvina lav zvini, the sale can't be a valid sale if he's a shoita. So as they were writing out a shtar with the psak din that the boy is right and he's entitled to the nechosim back, now the lekuchas realized we're going to lose out. We're going to have to give back whatever it is we bought from him, and he's going to be able to claim that he was a shoita. So they came up with an idea, just the opposite, to coach the boy to make him to, just like his relatives had coached him to pretend that he's a shoita, the same way the lekuchas are doing the opposite. They're going to coach him to show that actually he knows what he's talking about. Omer le lekuchas, so they told the boy, Zil emalei le Rava, go tell Rava the following dvar chochma, that Rava should realize that after all, you do know what you're doing. Go tell Rava, Megillas Esther bezuzah ushtara demar bezuzah. Look at that. You can buy a Megillas Esther, which takes quite a bit of writing, and you can buy it for a zuz. And here we have the shtar that you're writing out with the psak din is also you pay a zuz for it. So what's the how now? Not necessarily. I mean, in reality, a Megillas Esther is larger, and you would pay more for it. But in other words, like this, there was the point that after all, the price that you pay for the writing of a shtar doesn't always seem to be proportional to the length of the actual shtar, to the complexity of it. Ozel Omerle, so the boy goes and tells Rava. Omelahur, so Rava says, you know what? I see that he does know what he's doing. Zvine zvini. The sale is a valid sale. He obviously does know he obviously is on the ball and knows what's going on. Omrule Kruve, but the relatives of the boy said, what do you mean, Lakuchas Agmaruhu? What do you mean? The buyers are the ones who coached him to say that. Now they should realize for themselves, we also coached him to do with the dates. But nevertheless, Rava says, you know what? I have a better reason. Omalahu, Mazbur Le Sovar. The fact is, you explained to him something of Chokma, he's able to pick it up. Because it's true, maybe they coached him, but after all, he understands this point, and he was able to tell it to me in a sensible way.
But because he was able to fall for the trap, it shows that he's not all smart. He fell for the trap both ways.
Well, so Rova's going to point out over here, one second. Kivin de Masbir Leva Sovar, since you're able to explain to him something logical, and he's able to understand it, that means Meida Yoda, so therefore we can say that it means that he knows what's going on, that he understands. So now, right, the Rashbam understands that it means that Rava is saying both. Once he's able to understand that, then we can assume he also knows B'tiv Maso Matan. Tosfos, actually, that Tosfos, Anamad Aleph, that discusses the flow of the Gemara over here, says, what does one have to do with the other? Because he knows because he can understand that point. Therefore, he knows Kiv Masa Umatan. So we're talking about that rather that he the question was, Tosfos says he was of age over here. So the question was whether he's a shoyter or not. And the answer is Rava is saying if he had been below age, and we're talking about whether he's sharp and on the ball, like that 14-year-old girl that Gidol by Menashe asked about, then no, that wouldn't be a proof. Just because he can understand this one point doesn't mean anything. But here he was in fact of age, 18 according to Rava, 20 according to Rav Huna bar Chinina, and he's able to understand a concept like that when you explain it to him and tell it over, that shows that therefore he's not a shoyter. He's not a shoyter, and therefore he does have the ability to sell, and therefore the sale is a valid sale. What about the business with the dates and the pits? That doesn't show that he was a shoyter. It just means that he was a chutzpanyak, that he could do such a thing, throw garbage on the ground in front of Rava in his house. Doesn't mean that he's a shoyter. So we see from this story, you know, so again, depending on how we understand what happened in the story over here, we say either that it means that if he's below age, so first of all, we said if he's below age, but he's Yedea B'Tiv Maso Matan, and he does really understand what's going on. So then Rova or Rav had said to Gidol by Menashe that he would be able to sell. Again, within that, you have Macholikos who's showing him, does that mean without restrictions, or does that mean he still can't sell Nichse Oviv until he's actually 20? But then you have here, we have the flip side of it. If he's below age or of age, as the case may be, depending on how you learn the story over here, and we see that he's a shoyter, then he wouldn't be able to sell. But if we see that he's a pikeach, then he would be able to. So the discussion over here is, was he a pikeach or was he a shoyter? And Rava's maskana is the fact that he did one thing that seems to show shtus is not shtus, but rather chutzpah. The key thing is, can we explain to him a logical point like that about the Megillas Esther and the shtar, and he'll understand it? Then it shows he's not a shoyter. Then it means he's enough on the ball to at least that we can accept that his sales are valid. Again, does that mean below age? That's going to be subject to that machlokas Rashbam and Tosfos about what the story was over here, whether he was above age or below age at the time. Okay. So we're going to continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we're going to continue talking about these points of what exactly a child of that age, a young man of that age, is and isn't able to accomplish. And we'll discuss this point that young people are often into money. They don't realize the value of actual assets, in particular land, and therefore the Chachamim, to protect them, would have to make rules about what they can and can't sell.